going to attempt to finish up 2 John this morning. We're going to begin our reading at verse 1. The elder, that would be John himself, the Apostle John, to the elect lady and to her children, which would be a prominent woman in the area, along with her children. He says, whom I love in truth. John always presented that love and truth are inseparable. And not I only, but also all of the ones who have known the truth. Verse 2 says, literally, on account of the truth. That's a prepositional phrase that describes, in verse 1, whom I love in truth. That little phrase, I love in truth, is on the basis of, on account of the truth, which is remaining or abiding in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. It will be with us in truth and love. The purpose of his writing, he says, I rejoiced exceedingly that I have found some from out of your children walking in truth, according as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I ask you, lady, not as writing a new commandment to you, but which we had from the beginning, in order that we should love one another. And this is the love, in order that we should walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, according as you heard from the beginning, in order that you should walk in it. Because many deceivers entered into the world, the ones not confessing Jesus Christ coming in flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Verse 8 that we spent 2 weeks on. Be continually watching yourselves in order that we should not lose what things we have worked out, but we might receive a full reward. Everyone stepping aside, or some manuscripts say going ahead, it's the word trespass. And some English texts have the word transgression and some have the word trespass, where it would read, every trespass, everyone who is trespassing and not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. It's literally stepping aside, because that's what trespassing means. It means to go off the path into an area that you're not supposed to be. No trespassing. So what it's basically saying is you get off the path of the true doctrine of Christ. Other manuscripts use the word go ahead. You go beyond what God's word says. So it's not talking about sins and trespasses. It's talking about going off to the side rather than staying on the path, or going ahead and not staying or remaining with the truth. So everyone stepping aside and not remaining in the doctrine or teaching of the Christ does not have God. The one abiding or remaining in the doctrine or teaching of the Christ, this one has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine or teaching, do not receive him into your house. And do not say greetings to him, for the one saying greetings to him is sharing or is participating in his evil works. While having many things to write to you, I decided not to express them through pen and ink, but I hope to come to you and to speak with you face to face in order that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. We saw from verse 8 that John has warned us. Be continually watching how you're following the Lord and with what teaching and doctrine you are following, so that we do not lose our full reward. We've spent the last 2 weeks on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul brought out, we will suffer loss. As Jesus Christ is the foundation, as we build on it gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, grass, and straw. He says, in that day the fire will burn. We will pass through the fire. That's not the fire of hell, but it's the fire of judgment for the believer. Everything that is burnable will burn. But the things of Christ will last, and that will be our reward. We saw last week from 2 Peter chapter 1 that Paul's message was against the attacks from within the church, the false teaching to take people away from the growth processes and into other things that have to do with the flesh. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter called those people as emporium operators who are using plastic words in the church to get to motivate people to produce for the system. Peter says, be involved in the growth processes because in this way will be your entrance into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, we spend a lot of time doing things that are going to burn and will not enter into heaven, that have no eternal value. Only the things of the Spirit of Christ will last. So be watching, he says. Be careful to be watching so that we can receive our full reward and not lose out on the work which Christ has brought. Then he says in verse 9, everyone turning aside or going on ahead and not remaining in the doctrine of the Christ, that's very important, the Christ, does not have God. I emphasized to you before that we have a problem with the English language because we know the Lord as Jesus Christ. We can even say his name is Jesus the Christ, but in English that only means first and last name to us. It only means that that name tells us an identity. The cults today believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That's not what the text is saying. The text is saying that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, HaMashiach, which both in Hebrew and Greek means the full anointing of God, so that the Messiah, when he came, would be the fullness of the anointing of God in human form, and that the cults do not believe. They know him by the English name, but they don't know him by the meaning of the name. Jesus is his name, Yeshua. Christ is his title, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Everybody who turns aside or goes on ahead and they don't remain in the doctrine of the Christ, they do not have God. Notice another piece of scripture where it does not say, here is the requirement for being saved. It says, here's the evidence. A person that falls off the path or goes on ahead and goes beyond because some prophet arrived on the scene or some angel gave him special revelation, and they have left the doctrine of the Christ as is known in the early church, that person didn't lose their salvation. It was evidence that they do not have God. They don't have God. So they're susceptible to being deceived and pulled away. He says, the one remaining in the doctrine of the Christ, this one has both the Father and the Son. Jesus presented that the Father and Son are one. You cannot separate the two. So today when religious groups say that they believe in God the Father, but not that Jesus is equal, they don't have the Father or the Son, because the Father and the Son are one. You can't separate them. You can't take one over the other. So the one who is remaining in the doctrine of the Christ, this one has both the Father and the Son. Now verse 10, the problem verse for many people, verses 10 and 11. We have 3 points. Verse 10, John says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house and do not say to him greetings. For the one saying greetings to him is participating, sharing koinonia in his evil works. Hard statement. If we understand the activity of the time in which John was writing, it'll make more sense to us. There were people in various cities, Christians, who would open up their homes to Christians traveling through the city. The local motels, as we know them, the local inns were filled with corruption and prostitution. So Christians in various cities, apparently this lady and her children, and we'll see in 2nd and 3rd John that there's a man by the name of Gaius who would house Christians as they come through. Give them food and give them shelter until it was time to move on. Now it is interesting because he says in verse 11, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, the word for bring is the word carry. They would literally carry their teachings, the parchments, and the various writings. They would actually carry it with them as they traveled. So these itinerant preachers would come into town and they'd try to find out where the local homes were that were housing Christians as they were traveling through. And so they would go to these homes. And as they said, I've come in the name of the Lord, and the person at the house would greet them. Greetings, come in, you're welcome. You're welcome to stay here. The problem was not help and love. The problem was that love was including people who were teaching false doctrine about Jesus Christ. And when a believer houses or supports someone who is actively teaching, presenting false doctrine about Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, that Christian is also part of their evil works because they're giving them the support, even if it's just housing. So first of all, if anybody comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, he's not talking about, first of all, he's not talking about all unbelievers you cannot have in your house. You have a fire, so the fire trucks pull up and you have to interview each fireman before he can go in to see if he's saved or not, you know. Or you have friends and relatives who are unsaved. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about someone who is actively believing and teaching and promoting false doctrine about Jesus Christ. Somebody who is actively promoting false doctrine about Jesus Christ. Don't let them in your house. Secondly, I emphasize the word active. People that are involved in religious groups, cult groups, that are actively promoting and teaching false doctrine about Jesus Christ and who he is. That's who he's talking about. Thirdly, our participation. I found just around here, when the Jehovah's Witnesses would go door to door, and two gals saw me out here in the yard, and they came up to talk to me. I was very surprised because people see it's a church, they won't come up and talk to me, but they came up to talk to me. And their presentation was, well, if we were wrong, there's a gal down here at the end of the street that when we said, can we pray with you, she said yes. There's a family down the road here that profess to be Christians, and they had us in their home to talk to us. See what they're doing? They're doing the old sales trick that if you can get somebody in the neighborhood to buy it, you can make them as a reference. Say, oh, yeah, well, I showed it to Joe down the street, and he bought a bottle. That makes it okay, right? You know? Use people in the neighborhood as a reference. Yes, we just got through praying with this family on the corner, and this family down here said they're Christian, and they had us in their home. Of course, they don't say that the Christians opposed us, but they had us in their home, presenting some kind of a friendly union. They accepted us. They received us. And that, according to them, is adding credibility to their doctrine. And John says, do not receive him into your house and do not say greetings to him. You find out what their doctrine is. You find out exactly what their life presentation is about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they are promoting and actively following something that's different, do not let them into your house. Now, many people have said over the years, well, if we don't have them in our house, how are we going to reach them for Christ? According to the Bible, and Paul wrote in his letter in the Corinthians, that if a Christian keeps bad company, that corrupt morals ruin good morals. Good morals don't rub off on bad morals. Christians are influenced by the corruption, not the other way around. Well, we're going to show them love. Love and truth go hand in hand. We have to be careful that we're not displaying some kind of humanitarian love or humanistic love to say we cannot hurt their flesh. Number one, I have a household. And if somebody is demonic or somebody is actively promoting false doctrine about Jesus Christ, I'm to not let them in my house, no matter who they are. Because they will bring their corruption into my house, plus them being in my house will give them a backing of support according to the scriptures. It is important to understand that in God's way, and many people don't understand this, in God's way, separation is the ministry. Separation is the ministry. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, that's 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, he says, do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. Some think that that just applies to marriage. Take them alongside and identify with them. Do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership is there with righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? And what agreement has Christ with Belial, which is another word for Satan? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what union has a temple of God with idols? For you are a temple of the living God, according as God said that, quote, I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people, unquote. That's from Leviticus 26:12 and Ezekiel 37:27. Verse 17, on account of which, come out from their midst and be separated, unquote, says the Lord, quote, and do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you, Isaiah 52:11. And I will be to you for a father, and you will be to me for sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, 2 Samuel 7, verses 8 and 14. It has always been God's way. In the Old Testament with the children of Israel, this is one of the big problems, along with not keeping the Sabbath. This is one of the problems the children of Israel had. They were in the land with the heathen, and God says, stay separate. In fact, the dietary laws given to the Jews were to keep them separate from the other peoples in the land so that they could not sit down and eat with them because they had certain dietary laws. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that there was a man in the church in Corinth who was sleeping with his mother-in-law. And the church approached him and he said, I'm not going to repent. So they just let him stay. Paul says, you are to separate him from your group and not even eat with them. Because when you eat the same food with other people, you are identifying with them and participating with them in God's eyes. Don't even socially mix with such a person that calls himself a Christian and will not repent at the discipline administered to him by the church concerning sin. Separation is God's way of reaching the lost. We don't think that way because we think it's harsh. But when we do not allow in our homes people who are actively teaching and promoting a doctrine that is opposed to Christ, it's a message to them. That is what God uses as a message. It's not done in anger. It's not done in hatred. I just can't let that influence in my home. Number one, it will influence my family. And number two, by housing you, it shows that I am approving of what you promote. That is in opposition to Christ. So even this woman who is receiving people into her home to help them in their travels, he tells her, if somebody comes to you and they do not carry or bring this doctrine, do not receive them into your home. Don't even greet them. As soon as you say greetings, as I was talking to the two gals out here, as they left, they were very cordial. They listened to what I had to say, and they didn't put up much of an argument. So when they turned around to leave, I almost said, have a good day. But as they left, I remembered, nope, I just talked to them about the Lord. I'm not going to wish them a good day. Can you see that? Well, we talked to the pastor down the street, and he hoped we had a good day. And so today is a good day, and we're here at your door. He wished us good success as we went in the neighborhood. Know this, that those who teach false doctrine will use the compromise of Christians to promote themselves that they're believing the right thing. Because if they weren't, we wouldn't have anything to do with them. They're not just non-believers, they're promoting false doctrine about Jesus Christ. We have to watch with that. Verse 12 and 13, he says, while having many things to write to you, I do not intend to express them through paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and to speak to you face to face. Literally in the Greek text, it's mouth to mouth. It'd be the same as our saying, eyeball to eyeball. Their way of saying face to face. In order that our joy may be full. So he's telling the elect lady that I heard about your compromise with truth for the sake of love. That out of your love, you're even, not intentionally, but you're housing people and supporting people who are teaching against the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And you're helping and supporting them in this by your identification with them. That's the main thing he wanted to tell her and emphasize, that truth and love cannot be separated. Love for Christ and love for his truth. And I want people to know. In fact, I've come to a point in my life that I feel like there's something wrong with me. that if somebody can actively oppose the truth about Jesus Christ, but they can receive me as a friend or someone to hang around, there's got to be something wrong. If you don't want Jesus Christ, what do you want me for? I belong to Jesus Christ. It's because I put all of that aside. I suppress all of that. I don't talk about all that. So I think that maybe them wanting to be with me, it'll eventually bring out the fact that I'll have a chance to share with them the truth. But in reality, by buddying up with them, I'm showing support for their doctrine in their own eyes and in their own heart. You have to understand that when teaching goes against Jesus Christ, people will believe false doctrine to get away from the truth. Some people just actively reject the truth. Other people actively get involved in religious groups that oppose what God's word says, as if their opposition is true. They will take anything, even our companionship, to prove to their own selves that their false doctrine is true, that you're actually following them. I can remember there was a family with this ministry that had been for many, many years, off and on. When we moved here to Santa Maria, they both had family here. The husband and the wife had family. And so they moved here also. But one of them, their mother's was a Mormon, active. I'm talking about canvassing and talking and preaching and the whole thing. And I warned them. I says, that is a very satanic influence at that person's house. Because I had known the person also 30 years ago that I'm talking about. And so they said, no, we've got the Lord, we're protected. Over a period of time, the wife split on the husband. He's totally dependent upon the support of his mother, who's a Mormon. And he's telling her that her doctrine's wrong, but she's supporting him financially, living at her place. It has no effect. Her attitude was, I'm the one housing you. I'm taking care of you. You can't even support your own family. You can't hold down a job. I'm supporting you, and you're telling me that I'm wrong. That's how they think. And the wife left. Children have gone their separate ways. One of them was in the paper quite a few months ago about being over in Ireland for a 2-year missionary journey. That'd be from the Mormons. One of their other kids is in positive thinking. It's a mess. But when you surrender to the cult and have them take care of us, to them that is proof, that is assurance, that is evidence that their doctrine is the truth. Because our doctrine has failed us, and we're dependent upon them. And whatever message we tell them will mean nothing, no effect whatsoever. He says in verse 13, that I want to come, verse 12, I want to come and share other things, but this is the urgent part right now. Love and truth are inseparable. You cannot love someone who is opposed to the things of Christ and compromise with truth. Then it's not love. God's love. God's love says, be separated and come out from amongst them. But he says, when we come together, our joy will be full. Verse 13, the children of your elect sister greet you. He didn't say your elect sister greets you, but the children of your elect sister. Obviously, she's dead, gone, and her children are still there, the same place where John is, And he says, the children of your elect sister greet you, amen. It's a very personal letter. Yes, they did have church in the home in those days. Many areas of a city where they had fellowship together within the home that was also used to house Christians as they traveled through. The message is very clear. Our humanitarian love that says we have to love them and that love will show them that we have the truth. That is not true. If we have the truth, we won't have anything to do with a lie. And it is not my fault, nor is it my problem, that maybe in the human realm, some of these people are the closest people to me in the flesh. Like I say, he's not talking about unbelievers in general. He's talking about people who are actively teaching and promoting doctrine that is opposed to the truth of Jesus Christ. Very important to see. This is not my way, God's way. It isn't the human love that influences people. It's the fact that people feel the separation, feel that we cannot participate with them because of the lies about Jesus Christ and the gospel that they carry. They will be hurt, they will be upset, they will be angry. That means there's conviction. But when we love them, compromise with truth, no effectiveness at all. No effectiveness at all. Remember, people that are promoting and following false doctrine, they are looking for evidence that they are right. And when we're in submission to them, we are proving that they are right. They don't look at truth and error. They just look for confidence that they're following the truth. Believers are to stand for the truth. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which is often hard and harsh, but at the same time, it's full of truth. You're concerned about the influence within our households. You're concerned about the representation of Christ and glory to his name. You're concerned about Satan making his way in with the believers. As our battle is not with flesh and blood, but our battle is with evil spiritual forces in the spirit realm, Satan will use innocent, sincere, unsuspecting people in order to make inroads with the false doctrine. Help us to understand. Help us to pray. Help us to be sensitive to and to seek you as to what you would have us to do with each situation, knowing that there will be feelings, family members, friends, neighbors that mean a lot to us, but we need to seek you, your love and your truth as to what you would have us to do to properly represent Jesus Christ and the truth of Christ and protect our homes, protect our church. We ask that by your Spirit you would give us understanding on these things and just teach us to be sensitive that love and truth are inseparable. We cannot compromise with the truth in order to promote God's love. That is not God's love. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.